Welcome to the Old Time Radio Daily Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and today is Wednesday, May 19th, 2010. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. If you plan on doing any online shopping, do go to otrwesterns.com/Amazon. Today's episode is going to be Challenge of the Yukon. The first one we're going to listen to is from April 27th, 1944, and the second one's from May 4th, 1944. Now, the titles are going to be Preston's Right-Hand Man and A Woman Scorned. So, before we get into it, real quick history note, because May 4th is a history thing on the second one. Just want to remind everybody that in 1944, we were still in the midst of World War II. So, kind of give you an idea there. I didn't find anything specific. Some meat rationing had ended, but World War II was still going on. So, let's get into today's episode.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
King of you Huskies!
The Wonder Dog King, swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the new Northwest country, where the greed for wealth and power led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, Sergeant Preston and his Wonder Dog King met that challenge, and justice ruled triumphant. In the headquarters of the Northwest Mounted Police, Sergeant Preston stood listening to his superior officer, Inspector Maynard. The older man frowned as he spoke.
Alaska had Soapy Smith. The Yukon has Manny Reynolds. Sergeant, he must be stopped.
Yes, you're right.
As a leader of organized gangsterism, he terrorizes prospectors and trappers who are carrying gold dust and valuable furs along the remote trails. And he's clever. He's wanted for murder and robberies. As you know, we've been trying to catch up with him for the last 6 months.
Every outlaw makes at least one mistake, Inspector. That mistake is usually enough to hang him.
Well, I hope you're right. I suppose there's a reason why outlaws like Reynolds operate in the Yukon. Besides being a place of great wealth, the country's so big, they feel the law won't be able to touch them. I can't give you a definite lead on Reynolds. All you have to go on is the list I gave you.
Well, that gives me an idea of where he's been anyway. I'll start to work on it immediately.
And we'll do everything possible to help you. If you want a man to work with you...
Well, thanks, Inspector. I have all the help I'll need.
Who do you plan to take with you?
King.
King? Oh, yes. I know of your attachment to your dog, Sergeant, but I'm talking about...
You don't understand, sir. King and I have been working together for a long time. He's more valuable to me than anyone else could ever be.
Well, I won't interfere with whatever plans you have. I certainly hope you aren't making a mistake. A dog in this country is a beast of burden. A fine, splendid animal in its place. But in a case like this, I don't know.
We'll see, Inspector. We'll see.
As Sergeant Preston left police headquarters, the great dog King followed close at his heels. The Mountie's blue eyes narrowed.
That list Inspector Maynard gave us is something to start on, fella. As I see it, Manny Reynolds is slowly working west. Pulled jobs in several towns and along trails that seem to indicate that's what he has in mind. So we'll head towards Seahorse City, King. And perhaps before long we'll find a more definite clue.
A few days later, in the bank in Seahorse City.
Yes, sir, gents. What can I do for you?
This is a hold-up, partner. Unless you want to get hurt, hand over the dust in that drawer.
What? Why, you...
Quick about it. Pete, you and Sam lift the dust out of the safe.
Yeah, sure, Manny.
All right, all right. What are you stalling for?
I was just caught up.
Manny, he's got a gun. You all right?
I'm all right. He got my arm. That small-time pin pusher ain't going to reach for any more guns. Get that dust and let's march.
In Seahorse City, late the next night, young Dr. Wells sat talking to his wife, the light from the oil lamp flickering and casting weird shadows along the walls of the snug cabin.
So they got away, friend?
Yes, and the only man who could identify them died with a bullet through his heart. I don't know, Molly. I don't know why the law doesn't stop this sort of thing.
They will be stopped. They must be. People are always punished, but... What was that?
What?
I thought I heard something outside.
You see what I mean? You can't feel safe even in your own cabin. There's only some way to find Sergeant Preston.
It's been a long time since we've seen him in Seahorse.
Yes, and he's never been needed more.
Freddy!
Keep quiet, lady. I ain't carrying this gun just for show.
What do you want? We have no money here. You're wasting your time.
You're the sawbones here, ain't you?
Yes, I'm a doctor.
Well, I got a job for you to do. Put on your mackinaw and step lively.
Oh, wait a minute.
Like I said, Doc, I don't carry this gun for show. Coming with me, see? You act sensible, ain't no one going to get hurt.
Fred, maybe you'd better go with him.
All right.
All right, I'll go with you.
Who's sick?
Ain't exactly a case of sickness. Now, lady, you want to see your husband get back here, you keep your mouth shut about my little visit, see?
You don't have to threaten me, you hoodlum. If you dare harm my husband, I'll have you hunted down, no matter where you take him.
Ain't nobody going to be hunted down. What happens to him is up to you.
I'll be all right, honey.
Now, come on, we've wasted enough time already.
Goodbye, Molly, and don't worry.
Be careful, darling.
Where are you taking me?
I'm putting this bandana over your eyes. So you can't see where I'm taking you. I might as well tell you, Doc. You have to dig a bullet out of a fella's arm. That's all you got to do. Now get in the sled. All right. Must you, Husky? Must! I'm telling you, before you get any ideas in your head, if you don't do a good job, you get paid off in lead.
It was a few hours later. Sergeant Preston halted his dogs in front of Fred Wells' cabin in Seahorse City.
Okay, go, you huskies. All right, fella, let's go in to see the doctor.
Sergeant Preston.
Molly, what's wrong?
Oh, come in, Sergeant, please. I'm sorry.
Well, is there anything I can do?
Maybe. Maybe you'll know what to do.
Sergeant Preston listened to Molly Wells' story and frowned. She told him of the robbery and murder in the bank a few days before, and of the man who visited the cabin, forcing the doctor to go with him.
He threatened to kill Fred if I told anyone. Where are you going?
There'll be tracks in the snow, Molly. King and I'll follow them.
But if you do, you're endangering Fred's life. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have told you.
You don't have to trust me, Molly. Come on, King. We might have a long trail ahead of us, but I have a hunch we'll find what we set out for at the end of it.
At Manny Reynolds' cleverly concealed hideout miles north of Seahorse City, Fred Wells worked on the wounded outlaw's arm. Reynolds himself was far from a desirable patient because, like all men of his kind, his reaction to pain was that of a coward.
Oh, you...
You want me to get this bullet out, so keep quiet. You, over there.
Yeah.
Hold his arm.
Pete.
Yeah, boss, I'm here.
I just saw something. You might have been followed when you left Seahorse City.
Yeah, we wasn't. I took care of all that.
You would... Take it easy, Doc. You and Lefty go out on the trail and keep watch, you hear?
It's freezing cold out there, man.
Freezing or not, I ain't taking any chances. The doctor's wife might have told somebody you brought him out here.
Why, you low-living suspicious devil. You don't have to be afraid.
Keep out of this. We'll settle with you later. The reason me and the boys ain't never seen the inside of a jail is because Manny Reynolds is always ready for trouble a long time before it comes. You know what to do, Pete?
Yeah. I know what to do.
When Sergeant Preston came into view far down a shallow valley, he and his dogs were sharply outlined on the moonlit trail. The two outlaws, serving as lookouts, acted quickly.
Who is it, fella?
King caught the scent of the two men as he sampled the sharp Yukon air.
Oh, I see. Someone dropped on the trail. Perhaps he's been... Oh, you huskies! Oh!
The Marty walked toward the motionless figure in the snow. As he bent low to examine the man, Pete's feet shot up suddenly, catching the policeman off guard. At the same moment, Lefty came from behind the protection of a huge rock. Like a streak of lightning, King threw himself on the two men. Furiously, he fought them, sinking his teeth into their hands and clothing.
Get that bastard off!
King dodged, and his one thought was to get to his master.
King! King, I'll kill you, boy! Go on, King! Away!
For a moment, the great dog hesitated. He didn't understand Preston's sharp command. Why did he order him away?
Do you hear me, King? Away!
Slowly, with a heavy heart, King loped toward the timber. Always, he'd obeyed Preston's commands blindly.
Well, if it ain't the money.
Lefty, wait till Manny sees what we got.
So you two got the drop on Sergeant Preston. I never expected would have the pleasure of holding a gun on you, Marty.
You wouldn't have, Reynolds, if your man here hadn't done such a good job of playing dead. Well, you're holding the cards. What do you plan to do?
How'd you find us? Who directed you to this place? Old Cog, huh? Maybe it was the doctor's wife.
And just maybe, Manny. Maybe I didn't stop in Seahorse City.
Sergeant, you shouldn't have come here.
Seems we're outnumbered anyway.
Sarbones is right, Muddy. You never should have come here.
What are you going to do, Manny?
There's only one thing to do. Kill him.
Hey, now, it's suicide to kill him, Muddy.
Yeah, it is, Manny.
Maybe you boys don't know as much about Preston as I do. He was the one that was responsible for Whitey McLaughlin getting it in the neck.
And Whitey was a friend of yours?
Yeah, good friend. If we don't get you, you'll get us, right?
That's right. I set out to find you, and I have.
It would have been better for you if you hadn't.
You can't get away with this.
Your job here's done, Doc, so keep quiet. Or you'll get what we're going to give the money.
You know, Moni, it seems to me you're making a mistake.
Yeah?
A mistake of overconfidence.
I'll hand it to you, all right. You're plenty cool. Just what do you mean?
You don't think that dog of yours is going to save you, Moni?
Even as Sergeant Preston whistled for King, the sharp whistle that had always been a signal between the two of them, the Mountie wondered and hoped. And as King waited outside the cabin, he heard. He'd waited. A powerful bond that was like a magnet held him to the place where Preston was. He'd waited. And as King heard his master calling him, he knew why. This was what he'd been listening for. He looked at the cabin, and from one of the windows saw the light streaming across the snow. It was a large window, and as he measured the distance, King broke into a run, steeling his lean, muscular body for the impact that was to come.
What the... Get that dog!
I'll take that gun, Manny. All right, you.
No!
Good boy, King. All right, you men, put your hands up.
All right.
You're all under arrest.
And in Inspector Maynard's office, a week later, King stood beside Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant, you've done a remarkable piece of work. With no help at all, you brought in the whole Reynolds gang.
With no help at all, Inspector? No, that isn't true. I had help, and believe me, I needed it.
King?
That's right, sir. King. Yes, fella, Thanks to you, the case is closed.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. And all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. They are sent to you each week at this same time. Bob Height speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network. The Talons of the Yukon. The Wonder Dog King, swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the new Northwest country, where the greed for wealth and power led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, Sergeant Preston and his Wonder Dog King met that challenge, and justice ruled triumphant. When Mike Allison lost his life in a blizzard as he made his way along one of the Yukon's treacherous trails, his daughter Kate took over the management of the Malamute Cafe in Last Chance. And she managed it well, because Kate was the sort of woman who did everything well. It was early afternoon. A sharp wind swept down the snow-covered street of the town as Dennis Phillips stood talking to Kate in front of her cabin.
Well, Denny, I guess you'll be setting off on another of those wild goose chases of yours soon.
Oh, so that's what you call prospecting.
Why don't you settle down here in Last Chance? There's a pile of money right in this town for anybody that knows how to get it.
Oh, I've never wanted to settle down in one place.
Denny, I've never said this to anybody, but I'll make you a partner in the Malamute Cafe if you'll stay here. You'll make more money in the cafe than you could dig out of the ground in a year. You and me could... What are you looking at?
That man Sergeant Preston's talking to.
Oh, must be a newcomer.
Yeah. That girl standing with him must be the old man's daughter.
You're, not listening to what I was saying, Denny.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, Kate. What were you saying?
Several months passed. And in the Malamute Cafe, Kate Allison sat at a table at the far end of the crowded room, her hands restlessly toying with the glass in front of her, while she listened to a well-dressed man.
You know, Kate, I'd feel mighty sorry for anybody who'd play you for a sack.
You can bet your bottom dollar nobody will ever play me for a sack.
Not even Dennis Phillips?
Not even Dennis Phillips. I don't know why I ain't had you run out of town, you cheap gambler.
I'll tell you why, baby. Because you and me are too much alike. We understand each other. I am a gambler. And I'll make you a bet that I can tell what's on your mind right now.
Why, you...
You're planning a way to bring Dennis Phillips crawling back to you on his knees. But you're wasting your time. Those two are in love.
Love?
Miss me, Kate. You better practice up. Your aim's pretty bad.
Get out of here. Get out, you hear? I'll show you what I can do. You'll regret the day he ever laid eyes on that girl. Get out!
A week later in the cafe, Kate Allison smiled to herself as she listened to Dennis Phillips. For it seemed as if he had come crawling back.
Well, I'm glad for you, Denny. I'll stake you to whatever you need.
Well, that's mighty generous of you. And you won't be sorry. You're interested in making money, and I can promise you you'll get back 10 times
now,
more.
Now, wait a minute. I'm interested in making money, yes. But I'm interested in you for personal reasons, Denny.
Now, it'll mean a lot to me, the strike. Once the claim really starts turning up pay dirt, Sally and me will get married. That's why I'm so anxious.
You'll get married?
I thought you knew, Kate.
No, I didn't know that. But I do know this, Mr. Phillips. You're not getting married on my money.
What?
Go on. See if you can find anybody else in town with gold to throw away.
You should have given the kid a chance, Kate.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I was buying a drink at the bar. You don't turn down cash customers, do you? At least you didn't when I was working here. I heard your conversation.
I'm not interested in your remarks.
You will be when you hear what I have to say. What's it worth to you if I break up that little love affair you don't approve of?
What do you mean?
Just what I said. Oh, I'm not saying how I'll do it. But it ought to be worth a partnership in the Malamute.
You're crazy. I don't have to do business with people like you yet.
All right. Just forget I mentioned it.
Wait. What have you got in mind?
The next day, Clark Peters talked to Sally Morris.
It certainly is too bad Denny can't get anybody to stake him, Miss Morris.
He talked yesterday as if he knew someone who would.
Kate Allison was going to stake him. That is, she was until she heard that if he struck it rich, you two would get married. She'd give him the money in a minute if it weren't for that.
She's in love with Denny?
Oh, I guess she thinks she is. But then, he must mean more to you than the claim. And you'd probably marry him even if it doesn't work out. Too bad, though, that he has to be disappointed.
You mean it's because of me he can't get the money he needs to work the claim?
That's about the size of it, Miss Morris. It's you or his future, most likely. From what I've heard of this secret strike of his, it's really a good one.
I see. Thank you for telling me.
Not at all, ma'am. I'm interested in Dennis's claim myself. Mighty interested.
It was several weeks later. Sergeant Preston found Dennis Phillips sitting at a table in the Malamute Cafe, a half-empty bottle of whiskey in front of him. The great dog King followed close at Preston's heels. And as the Mountie sat down, King settled himself at his master's feet.
I never expected to find you here, Dennis. What about Sally? She'd hardly approve of your drinking.
Sally don't care what I do. She's gone. Father said she went off to visit some friends. He made him promise he wouldn't even tell me where. That's no use. Without Sally, I don't care about the claim. I don't care about nothing.
Is Dennis talking about his claim again, Sergeant?
Hello, Clark.
Oh, he'll talk about it all right. Tell you everything except where it is. I think it's just a pipe dream myself.
Pipe dream? It's
Dennis. Come on outside. I want to talk to you.
Once outside in the cold Yukon air, the two men walked together for nearly 30 minutes. The Mountie listened, and then Dennis listened, his mind clearing as he heard the Mountie's words.
You've told me what your claim is, and I believe you that it's a rich one. I want you to go out there, start to work at once. Leave the rest to me.
While Sergeant Preston talked to Sam Morris, Sally's father, Dennis prepared to mush along the trail toward his secret claim. He'd told Kate of his plans and of his talk with the policeman. And when he went to his cabin to pack his sled, she turned furiously to Clark Peters.
You were going to break up his affair with Sally Morris. A fine job you've done.
If I know Preston, once he's heard the kid's story, he'll bring Sally back to Last Chance.
And she'll be here in time for the happy ending. Oh, what a fool I was to listen to you.
You played your game and lost. But I haven't. I'm going after Phillips.
You're what?
I'm going after him. I've always been curious to know whether or not that claim of his is worth anything. If it is, you can bet I'm going to be in on the payoff.
It was a few days later. Clark Peters had bided his time after he followed Dennis to his claim. He had watched from a safe distance while the young man set up a temporary camp and began work. Then, boldly, he confronted him.
I'll hand it to you, Dennis. You were on the level when you said this was a rich strike.
Put that gun down.
Don't worry, I'll put it down when I'm ready. I'm not going to shoot you, my friend. That'd be too obvious. A blow on the head, I'll tie your hands and feet. Throw you on a sled and then...
You won't get away with it.
You see this bottle? That's wolf bait. I'll pour some of it on your clothing. And as far as anybody will know, you'll have met with an unfortunate accident.
Why, you conniving tinhorn.
I'll show you you can't get away.
No, you don't. That's only the beginning, Dennis. Now to get some rope.
As Clark Peters halted his sled a short time later, he had no idea Sergeant Preston's team was approaching, or that the dog King, running far ahead of his master's pack, even at that moment paused in his tracks as he caught two scents, one familiar and the other unknown to him. The air was sharp and exhilarating, and King raced forward. A few minutes passed, and he saw the two men. The one the great dog didn't recognize was dragging Sergeant Preston's friend. For a moment, King didn't understand the situation. And then he saw why his master's friend couldn't walk. His feet were tied.
Go on, groan, Philip. You'll be screaming once you hear the wolves. Out there. Where'd that door come from? Why, he's...
But Clark Peters had no more time to wonder from where King had appeared. He backed away from the dog who came toward him. Instantly, King seemed to be on all sides of him, cutting off escape. As the dog leaped at him, catching the man's mackinaw on his teeth, Clark's one thought was to get to his sled. Already, the wolves had caught the scent of the man.
The wolves! Gotta get out of here. Gotta wait for me, I'm not. If I had left my gun in Phillip's tent, I gotta get to my sled.
King turned toward the man who lay helpless in the snow. And as he did, Clark Peters, in his hurry to reach the sled that was waiting for him, slipped and fell. And falling, the bottle he carried in the pocket of his mackinaw broke. But Peters, thinking to evade the dog that had descended on him like a whirlwind, got up and rushed on. King set to work chewing the ropes that bound Dennis Phillips' hands.
Oh, you have to. Oh! Dennis!
Dennis! Oh, Denny! Darling, what happened?
It was Clark.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. But I sure would have been wolf meat if it hadn't been
wolves
for you.
I did hear them a moment ago, but they seemed to have gone on.
Sergeant, how come Sally's here? I mean, if
she... Oh, Denny, I told the sergeant about Clark coming to tell me about your claim. I was only trying to fix things for you so you'd be able to get grub-staked.
I got grub-staked, all right. When you left town, Kate said that you... Wait a minute. Clark went to see you. Sergeant, wait till I tell you.
Yes, you'd better tell me in fast. How'd you happen to be tied hand and foot here? All we saw was King chewing those ropes through.
Dennis Phillips told his story quickly of how Clark Peters had held a gun on him and threatened to make wolf meat of him. He told of King's efforts to drive off the gambler. And as Preston heard the details, he nodded grimly.
Good work, King, old boy. But right now, there's another job for you. We'll follow Peters' tracks. Get the dogs up.
The wolves had followed Clark Peters' sled, coming closer inch by inch to the man who was unarmed. Their teeth bared, giving voice to the terrifying cry that meant but one thing, death. When he heard the shots that scattered the frenzied wolf pack surrounding him, he could hardly believe his ears.
Save me! Save me!
Oh, King! Oh, you husky! Out your dogs, Peters!
Oh, thank heaven. You can't know how awful it was. I had no gun. I'd never known them to attack anyone in daylight before.
Think again, Clark. I would have got me in broad daylight if you'd had your way.
You're under arrest for attempted manslaughter, Peters. What's that on your mackinaw?
What? Wolf bait. What? That was why they followed me. The bottle broke in my pocket.
Oh, how horrible. And to think, Denny, you might have
now,
been...
Now, don't think about it, honey. We have a lot more pleasant things to talk about. But, Sergeant, if it hadn't been for King, I hate to think of what...
Yes, King, old boy. The case is closed.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit, and all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. They are sent to you each week at the same time. Jack McCarthy speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Okay, check out the show notes at otrwesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-98-OTRDW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Tomorrow's going to be an episode of Have Gun Will Travel. And before we end, I do want to let everybody know I did remove the extra commercial from the middle. You guys are doing so good on the Amazon.com, helping me out and supporting the show, that I figured, you know what, since you guys are helping me out, I'm not going to throw that second ad in and expect you guys to buy things. If you plan on doing any online shopping, do use OTRWesterns.com. That is paying the bills, and it's paying for the bandwidth, and that's the most important thing. My time, I don't expect to get paid from this. I listen to it, and I enjoy it. But I do thank everybody for using the OTRWesterns.com/Amazon to start their shopping experience. Okay, let's get done with it, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.